Welcome back. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the weekend. We're prepping you for Memorial Day next weekend. So listen up. We've got some good ideas, tips, and techniques. But first things first, right? You got to have good, cold beer within reach. Those are the three characteristics of a great beer. Good, cold, and within reach. And joining us in the studio again is Chaz Thompson from Smurl's Brewery. But Barbecue Bob, there's something you just want to say.
Well, I want to talk to Brian. I said it's May 19th. You played Hey 19. So that's just,
okay, good one. Good one.
See, Brian's got the edge today, not
right,
John.
Yeah, right, yeah. So, Chaz.
Yeah, John.
What's brewing, baby?
Well, you know, it's spring. Spring finally got here. That extended fourth winter that we had
right.
just tortured you and I because we couldn't get on the ice.
Yeah, it was like January 119th, somebody told me, or something, when we were getting that cold weather in April, you know?
But it was just insulting because I couldn't go fishing on the ice.
Right.
Because it was gone. Yeah. But so, spring beers. First day of spring is always our launch of one of our favorites, John T. Pilsner.
Okay.
It's a Czech-style Pilsner. Uses all Saaz hops, which are a little bit more spicy hop, rather than, you know, you've talked a lot in the past about the really citrusy ones or the piney ones. This doesn't have those characteristics. This is a little more earthy, but it's got a spicy note to it.
Now, when you talk about hops like that, would you say that the varietals of hops have expanded largely? I mean, have they come out with that many more and bred them, or do they just keep producing more of weird strains that they find and give them new names?
No, they're actually doing some genetics on them.
Because like a Citra is huge,
and
Cascade
stuff.
Is huge, but back when Pilsners were first built like 200 years ago in Czechoslovakia or whatever, 400, yeah. I mean, they what were there?
All
like
they had
five
was
or six
the
hops
noble and, hops.
Yeah,
there were like five or six that they considered worthy of making beer from.
Right.
Those old brewmasters would have never touched anything like a Citra or a Magnum or a Galaxy. They would have just thought, well, that's bad. That's a flower. Put it on your fence. That's not for brewing. But with the advent of craft brewing and all the new places doing all these innovative things and so many of the brewers that we all know that are out there just pushing the edge, finding something new, figuring out a new way to put it with some food.
Do you have any idea what the real number of breweries in Michigan is right now?
When I was at the state and I talked to the director of the MLCC, the lead commissioner, he told me that by his recollection, there was 328 licensed brewing operations in the state.
And that number has exploded in the last 5 years.
Yes.
So how long ago was that?
That was Tuesday.
Oh, because I heard the number 700 now.
It's not that high, but
okay.
A lot of people are going to throw that in there because they'll consider a tap house that just serves craft beer.
Okay.
Count it, even though they don't make
beer. Okay.
But
I wondered how it went from 200 a couple years ago to 700 that quickly. Right. It's like, wow. They
count
really
the
are
brew kettles,
exploding.
Okay?
Okay.
Yeah, right, yeah.
But, yeah, we brought out the Pilsner, and it's a great – it's almost a lawnmower beer. It's not real high in alcohol. It's light-colored. It's light-bodied, so you can really drink it while you're playing with the dog or you're out running the mower, you know, not your truck, but,
right.
You know – round, I don't carry a beer on my mower because it knocks the carbonation out of it.
Right. Yeah.
So I
the
set
vibration,
it on the
right?
steps,
yeah.
And every pass by, I can get a swig,
right.
You know.
Yeah, there's that 1 4-foot strip of grass that gets mowed like 9 times during his yard.
Right in front of the beer?
Right.
Right in front of the beer.
So, Chaz, for the listeners that don't know, you're talking this is a Pilsner style, but there's also ales, right? What's the difference? For the average consumer, what do they need to know the difference?
Pilsner falls into the category of lagers.
Okay.
Okay, lagers ferment at colder temperatures.
And the fermentation, the yeast is at the bottom.
Well, not really.
Theoretically.
Colder temperature is the accurate way to do it. And that came out of Bavaria because they were fermenting down in these caves and things like that, and they could age their beer cold and long to get these very complex flavors in light beer. Whereas in England, they were making ales.
They drank so much they had to make it faster.
Make it faster, but they were big, robust, and fruity. So when you pick out a style of beer, you know, as you go up the family tree towards the root, you're going to get into either ale or lager. Then you got some hybrids and crossovers in there when you start talking about some of the sours and some of the wild yeasts and things like that, because they have the dual characteristics and don't really fit. But for the most part, you can separate beers into those two categories of ale or lager. And Pilsner falls down into that lager.
Okay, so when you're doing the ales and the lagers, are the lagers generally a lighter beer and the ales are usually a darker beer, or does that not have any correlation at all?
Color really doesn't matter.
That's based
taste
on
and
the
mouthfeel.
It's based on the malts and how they roast them.
Taste and mouthfeel, lagers are going to be lighter bodied. Not necessarily lighter in color, because I make some really awesome black lagers. But they have a lighter body to them. They're not quite as heavy on the tongue. They don't necessarily have as many residual sugars in them and things like that. And quite often, they're not as high of alcohol. So a lot of people do perceive them to be the lighter beers.
Okay.
Hey, I brought another one.
You did?
One of your old favorites.
Oh, yeah. I know her.
Pickle Tink.
Yeah, yeah. I've spent some time with her before.
So tell us about that.
Pickle Tink is a strawberry wheat ale. Now,
it's not a chick beer.
It is not a chick beer. Okay. I have a couple of our good friends that are Navy SEALs. They will take offense to it being called a chick beer because they love the stuff.
Right.
It is fresh strawberries in a bottle. I tell people it's like stealing strawberries out of grandma's garden and getting to run around and have a blast with that. We got to open another one. Jop didn't get.
Well, I'm still working on this John T. You know,
but anyway,
I've got a radio show to host here.
This has that light, refreshing punch to it. And with food, salads, fish, chicken on the grill. I mean, what a wonderful thing. You know, how many times have we topped things with strawberries? You know, especially off the grill, because then that red just bleeds.
Keep it clean, Randy.
Yeah.
It's wonderful.
The chicken comes to mind that we've topped with strawberries.
Really?
Bob, yeah. As you, thanks for the lead in there.
Yeah. Chicken.
Yeah.
But one night when we were trying to come up with a name for this, you know, the name Pickle Tink came out. Well, right. Say it three times fast and you'll get the idea.
Because you had about five of them before you named it.
Why are
all your beers named like that?
Right.
3 a.m, yes, research.
Yeah, field tested. Right?
So describe this again.
It's light, it's refreshing, it's a wheat ale.
It's a wheat ale.
Halfway through the fermentation, we introduce
kind of a summer beer.
Yeah. It's light, it's bright, it won't stick around all summer because they'll buy us out of it. And it's a lot of fun. We do have a pickle and a pink tutu on the label, but there are no pickles in it.
So there's some famous wheat beers. Everybody knows Oberon. Everybody knows Shock Top. Those are considered wheat beers, summer wheats largely. How would this compare to like a typical wheat?
This is going to be a little lighter in the body than a Oberon.
A little easier on the hops.
A lot easier on the hops. There's virtually no hops in here because the tanginess in this one really comes from the strawberries.
That's
when
crazy.
When we put in the hundreds and hundreds of pounds of strawberries, it's just, your hands are red. It's wild.
Wow.
Got to be some great mash when you're done.
Coming up next, we're going to give you 3 ways to rub your thighs. Never stick to this one.
Yeah, went down yonder on the Chattahoochee. Never knew how much that muddy water meant to me. But I learned how to swim and I learned who I was. A lot about living and a little about love.